Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today, our guest is actress and author and activist Mary Lou Henner, and most of you will remember Mary Lou from her work as Elaine Nardo on the hit comedy series Taxi. But Henner is now also the host of The Mary Lou Show. It airs every weekday morning on the GCN Live Network or at MaryLouShow.com, where she features guest physicians, health experts, and celebrity guests and friends. Henner has written 9 books on diet, health, and memory, the most prominent being Total Health Makeover, in which she explains the virtues of a non-dairy diet in conjunction with food combining and exercise. She leads monthly classes on her website, www.marylou.com, designed to help people integrate these steps into a healthier, more active lifestyle. She is an anti-GMO activist, and when we return, we will be chatting with Mary Lou about this very important issue. Stay tuned.
Mary Lou Henner, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I did not know that you were an anti-GMO activist and that you promote a healthy organic lifestyle. And we were channel surfing one day and we saw you on the Larry King show debating GMOs, and my entire family stopped and we watched the show and we thought you were brilliant.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, first of all, I've been doing health for a very long time. I mean, since the 70s, actually.
Yeah. You're great.
Well, thank you. And so when they asked me to come on, I thought, sure. And I had no idea it was going to be as long or as intense or as feisty as it turned out to be. But, you know, it's something I think we have to get our health back. We have to, like, stop assuming that just because something is okay with the government that it's okay with our bodies, and it isn't, and we're killing our butterflies and we're affecting our children and our crops and everything else and our animals. So, you know, I wanted to say to them, especially, come on, GMOs have only been around since November the 23rd of 1973, which was a Friday, and that's not long enough for us to know really the long-term effects. And it's so counterintuitive. I don't know if when you saw what Robert Goldberg was talking about, or the guy from Monsanto was so excited about having the little cartoon where you saw the two plants and the caterpillar wants to eat the non-GMO plant and the GMO plant just sits there and stays as green and, you know, as fake as it is to start out with. And I loved it when John Sally said, you know, I'm with the caterpillar. I want to go with the real food. So anyway, it was a lively discussion.
I'm definitely going to link that in the newsletter that I send out and so people can watch it. And one thing that I want to ask you about before I really get into the meat of the conversation is, first of all, we all know you from Taxi, and that's really been a long time ago. But you look fabulous. You look so naturally, just as young as you did back then.
Oh,
and
well,
I'm not like something that goes like celebrities, blah blah blah. I just thought, wow, she just looks so naturally beautiful.
Oh well, thank you. I mean, I don't know. I guess this is, if you take care of yourself, then, you know, nature rewards you. And so I lost my parents very young ages. My father died at 52 of a heart attack. My mom died at 58 of arthritis, and I have outlived both of them. So if I had my choice between death or taking care of myself, I chose to take care of myself.
Well, you're definitely a model for this healthy organic lifestyle. And when I just couldn't believe the stuff that the Monsanto employee was saying, a representative. Do you think he really believed what he was saying, or do you think
sure.
he just
but it's
paid
all,
to
it's
say
all
that?
Money driven. It's all about money. It's all about, you know, and I think scientists like to play in their laboratories, but the long-term effects are not, you know, they'll find ways of proving that something is safe. But how safe could it be if it's killing a lot of our, you know, monarch butterflies and affecting our children and, you know, just everything else, our animals, everything. is being affected by this, our whole ecosystem.
Well, Monsanto has long, and Monsanto isn't the only company that genetically modifies or genetically engineers our food supply, but they're one of the oldest, and they must be one of the most evil corporations on the face of the earth. Between suing farmers for cross-contamination, suing dairy farmers who don't want to use their bovine growth hormones, or suing them because they put on their product that there are no bovine growth hormones in their products. And Agent Orange, Roundup, there's PCBs.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, if you really start trolling the internet, you can't believe the photographs, you can't believe the research, you can't believe what you'll find. You know, and of course, not the stuff that the big businesses have paid for, but you go to some of the other pages and you get the truth.
And of course, Monsanto is deeply involved in our federal government and our state governments.
Yeah, of course, and now with all, you know, with the Supreme Court decision yesterday saying that individuals can contribute. I mean, who knows? I've spoken in front of Congress 7 times. Two of the seven were for the dietary guidelines in both 2004 and recently in January 14th of this year. And I cannot believe the special interest groups and how many people. There was a guy from the Lard Institute, okay, talking
wow.
about how much better lard is for you than something like olive oil. So,
wow.
You know, you get all kinds of people up there talking about what should be on our dietary guidelines, because what's determined at those sessions is what is determined in our schools, you know, what is given to our school children, what is given to our military, any other civil service jobs, et cetera. So anyway, it's definitely a passion of mine, which is why I wanted to have a daily radio show so I could talk about some of these things. In kind of, you know, a fun way so that people will get the information but not feel beaten over the head with it. You know, I always say if I'm going to drag people kicking and screaming to their health, they're going to have a damn good time.
I know, huh? What a way to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm also very passionate about this issue, and especially when Prop 37 was proposed here in California, just labeling, you know, not even banning GMOs,
sure.
just labeling them so people, parents, consumers could have, an educated choice. And
absolutely.
If GMOs are so good for you, why are they afraid
yeah.
of labeling?
Well, I said to the guy from Montana, I don't know if you remember, I said to him, how much money did you spend trying to kill Prop 37? And he said, oh, well, I really don't know. I said, how about $7.1 million the last couple of weeks?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
right.
They spent a lot of money trying to keep it off, keep people from knowing what they're eating.
I think Monsanto was committed to donating as much as Yes on 37 raised.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know No on 37 raised some close to $50 million.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's
well, so I also, read that to get enough nutrition out of the regular American diet these days, we'd have to eat about 10,000 calories a day just to get the minimum level of nutrients our bodies need. But if we eat an organic diet, that goes down to something like 1,500 calories a day to get our minimum.
Sure.
And I'm not quoting exact figures. But one of the things you said before you were going to, I think before you were going to testify one time in Congress, and I thought it was very profound. You said, we're stuffing our faces but starving our bodies. How can a nation that's like 60%, has a 60% obesity rate be so malnourished with all of the diseases?
Well, I mean, you know, we're stuffing our faces with a lot of dead food that has nothing to do with nutrition. It's full of either chemicals or dead animals or, you know, just nothing vibrant, nothing healthy, nothing recently cut or killed. You know, it's all packaged. It's all manufactured. It's got all kinds of steroids, hormones, colorings, just everything wrong in it. Tons of, you know, tons of different products and not from nature. And so our bodies are eating and stuffing and stuffing and like, no, give me more and more and more and more and more. Please, is there a nutrient in there? You know, so we are literally stuffing our faces but starving our bodies because there's nothing in our food. I mean, our food is so bad. And I really think that this next generation is going to be so much less healthy than we were because it's almost like, you know, in a VHS, when you used to make VHS tapes and you'd make a tape of a tape of a tape, a copy of a copy of a copy, it would break down each time. And I think our kids are breaking down. Our soil is broken down. Our air, our water, what we can fertilize our earth with, it's just horrible. We're degrading. We're literally degrading, and we're not as hardy as we used to be. And we're able to keep people alive because of other medical advancements, but in terms of the real stock that we're coming from, we are not as hardy as we used to be. And as a result, I think that this next generation is not going to outlive their parents. I don't think they'll be as lucky as I was with my parents.
Well, we're certainly doing a lot to harm our next generation.
Sure.
But I really think that this anti-GMO, pro-healthy, clean food, community gardens and food co-ops and things like that, I think this movement is very young and it's very diverse. I was at Monsanto, the headquarters in St. Louis in May when we had the big, I think it was a global anti-Monsanto day of action last May. And this anti-GMO movement is very diverse. It's diverse age, gender, race, political party, economic background.
Well, there's a tsunami of health that's going on right now. You can't stop it. People want more information because they know that something's wrong. They're not trusting, hopefully they're not trusting as much as they used to or maybe the way their parents did. But I still feel like, you know, there's not enough people with a voice and experience and information out there who are setting people straight and really telling them like it is. But all you have to do is go to the Natural Products Expo, like the one here in Los Angeles a few weeks ago, and you cannot believe. I mean, that's the one place where you don't feel there's any recession happening because, you know, or any kind of depression going on because there are so many products, there are so many vibrant, people very excited about health because people want to know. They want to know. They want the information. They want to feel better. We can look around us. I always say, look around you, America. Something is wrong. We don't look like we're supposed to look anymore. We've like misshapen the human body with all of our chemistry and our foods. And, you know, you can just look at people's eyes. People don't look vibrant. They've got big circles. They've got big globs of you know, flesh that are not even keeping the male or female shape. They just get, like, so misshapen as a result of, you know, this chemistry in our foods and everything else. So, you know, and people think it's natural that after 50 years old, they're supposed to be on 8 to 11 medications and perhaps spend the last 10 years of their lives being, you know, barely getting around, moving on like these little people mover type things, you know, in a wheelchair or whatever. And that's how you're supposed to go out. You're supposed to spend your last 10 years barely able to move. And it's terrible, we've accepted.
Invalid, right? I think that the United States just produces two things right now, and that is weapons and type 2 diabetes. And you were talking earlier about, you know, we're living longer for the time being because of all the other medication. It's just a vicious cycle.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, it's tough. It's really, you know, that's why we have to have programs like yours and mine to get the word out.
Right. So I was about to say that there is this, like you said, a tsunami of people that want to be healthy, that want a different way. And I don't think people like Monsanto would be actively, or other big ag companies would be actively trying to pass laws that make it illegal for people to grow their own food, for example, and or to reuse their heritage seeds that they've been using for generations. Mm-hmm. And so there is a movement, and it's due to people, you know, like you. And
but look at our children. Look at our kids in school. Look at what's happening to our babies. Look at what's happening to our five-year-olds. Look at our kids with not only type 2 diabetes at 5 and 6 years old, but huge high cholesterol numbers. I mean, it's terrible. I wrote a book in 2001 called Healthy Kids, and that title was even available to me is crazy. And my publisher did not want to give me the money I usually get for a book, and I said, I don't care. I have to get this information out. And I had to take out a whole chapter about autism and what was going on because they felt it was too controversial. And now, you know, I said we're heading for a disaster when it comes to the autism rates. And it's crazy. I mean, it's like our kids are suffering. We pump them with steroids and chemicals and hormones in our food and dyes and colorings and everything else. And then when they can't sit still, we pump them up we say that they have ADD and ADHD. You know, their little 40 to 80 pound bodies can't sit still with all the chemistry we've given them in their foods. And then we label them ADD and ADHD and then give them medication on top of that as well. It's not fair. It's not fair to our children.
Little girls starting to menstruate at 8 years old.
Yeah, I know. The average is now 10, 6. When I wrote that book, it was outrageous that a 10-year-old would do it. Now it's so much earlier. And that's, if we're pumping up our chickens and our cows, what do you think we're going to do to our girls? And they can't handle it emotionally.
On your website, you had a recent show about eating healthy on, if you don't have a big food budget. And I think that is a big concern to most of my listeners because, you know, unfortunately, you can go buy a box of GMO and chemical-laden macaroni and cheese for less than a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And to buy organic grains or organic produce is a little bit more expensive. Do you have tips for my listeners how they can eat healthier with fixed or limited food budget?
Well, I'll tell you something. There's nothing more expensive than bad health, whether it's days taken off from school or work, medical bills, doctor visits, medication, all those other things. So, you know, I always say to people, look, being healthy is hard, being unhealthy is hard, maintaining health is hard. Pick your hard. Just pick your hard.
Right.
It's better for you to pick something like organic food where you'll end up eating less because it's about quality, not quantity, and you are not going to spend as much on all these other very expensive medical things because you're going to have a healthier diet. You're going to eat less food because the quality is improved, and you're not going to spend money throwing food away. I mean, more people, you know, kids won't eat vegetables because they're horrible tasting because they're not real. They're all GMO vegetables or they're tasteless because they aren't organic. So a little more investment and being a little more clever, whether it's, you know, beans and brown rice or quinoa or anything like that, people just have to they have to educate themselves. That's where the biggest problem is. You know, we've made chemicalized food, processed food so ubiquitous and so, you know, just so readily available and cheaper because that's what we're used to eating. And parents, I've had parents of children, little children, say, oh, well, that's not sweet enough. Oh, that's not salty enough. That's, you know, they like that. That's what the flavor. No, it's just that as adults, we have destroyed our palates from years and years of abuse, so we only can taste the extreme salts and the extreme sugar, you know, and flavor adheres to fat, so it's like salty and fatty and or sugary and fatty, and that's it. So what I say to a family is, you know, plan your meals, buy organic whenever possible, especially with things that you can't wash thoroughly. You're not going to spend as much money on doctor bills or days missed from school or any other kind of crazy medications. And change your palate, you know, change your life.
Well, then there are some foods that don't have GMOs, and there's some foods that are almost 100% GMO by this time. And we need to also talk about eating in season, because the only time I will have corn on the cob, even though it's available to me year-round, is in the summertime when I know it is grown at my local organic farmer's market. It's not grown at the farmer's market, but that's where I go buy it.
Right,
and so I love corn on the cob, but I'm not about to eat their GMO-laden frozen corn on the cob if it's not fresh and in season.
It's not organic, I know. Absolutely.
So people need to also talk about that, about eating in season, because a lot of times when you go to the grocery store and you're buying fresh produce, you're buying stuff that's not in season where you live.
Yeah, the carbon footprint. Everything's, come from far away. It's like you wouldn't wear a bikini in Alaska during the winter, and you wouldn't wear a parka in Hawaii. You know, you have to dress for the season, and you have to eat for the season, and you have to eat, dress locally and eat locally. What is it? What's going on? What environment? You know, people feel so disconnected from their own environment. And when you really understand that we're just this natural, beautiful, wonderful human animal that needs to do all of the things any animal found in nature should do, you know, but in our infinite wisdom, we've outsmarted ourselves. You know, from everything, from the food we've chosen to our movement. You know, if I always say, come on, your dog walks, your cat stretches, your hamster gets a hamster wheel. You're this beautiful human animal. Move, breathe, move, hydrate, eat properly. It's so easy. It's easy when you really get into it. You know, learn to love the food that loves you. That's what I always say. And you can tell what loves you and what doesn't.
I just made some organic, vegan, gluten-free sweet potato muffins the other day.
Wow.
And my grandson ran in, and he's like, Gigi, I love these cupcakes. So I'm like, yeah, they're cupcakes.
That's great. You know, it's funny, my boys have eaten this. They've never had a glass of milk. They've never had a cheeseburger, never in their lives. My kids do not eat meat.
Right.
They don't eat dairy. And so the other, my son was a football player for 2 years. Now he's a lacrosse player. And I was taking his lunch to him on the football field, actually. And he looked in the bag and he went, Mom, you forgot my tofu sticks. And I thought, oh, my gosh, in the history of football, no one has ever uttered those words. But it was so funny because they love, and, you know, they get asked all the time, well, what do you, you know, how do you feel about eating this way? And they always say, we don't know what, we like this food. You know, my son says, I like the way it tastes. I don't get sick. I have no complaints.
And I also like that you're vegan, right?
Yeah.
I love that because I'm a vegan too. And I have been for decades. And that's in our society, it takes a lot of courage because I regularly say a lot of things that are very controversial. And sometimes I say them they're controversial, then people catch up with me and they're not so controversial. But being a vegan is something that people attack me on the most. Meat eaters, viciously spend their eating of meat.
Well, it's so funny because there is such a protein myth in this country. It annoys me because, you know, it's like protein, protein, protein. I always say, wait a minute, no one has ever died from lack of protein, but they have died from the things that too much protein has caused, you know, heart attacks, cardiovascular disease, cancer, arthritis, all this inflammation that people are going through, you know, and I feel like, but we have this protein myth and people feel like, oh, if I don't have meat at every meal, and yet, this is what is causing climate change more than anything else. The methane gas that our livestock is emitting every single day. You know, I get real feisty about this stuff, and it's funny because on my show, change comes from the center, so I don't get to be as violent. Because every day I would be talking about this. I talk about all kinds of things on my show.
Yeah, it's definitely a concern, and we have to be well-rounded human beings, I think.
Sure.
If we work for peace, then how can we eat a violent diet? I don't think that I don't think that it meshes. In my life, it doesn't mesh.
No, it's got to have an all over. I always say five things can change. Five things in your life can change if you start eating vegan. Or let's just say plant-based, even if people just do 80% plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. Five things will change. Your health, your body, meaning like your silhouette, your pocketbook, the planet, and animals. It's kind for money. You know, you won't spend as much money. It'll be better for the planet, certainly better for animals, and, and in terms of your health and in terms of the way you look. Just on a shallow level, you're going to look better, a lot better, eating a more plant-based diet. Plus, there is such a disconnect to me between the fact that people adore their animals. and love right. their cats and dogs and buy them, you know, spend $6,000 at the vet and buy them clothes and give them a Christmas stocking and, you know, they're like their children, put them in their wills, all those things. And yet they think nothing of eating a little lamb or a little cow or, you know, whatever. And it's like, where's the disconnect? Because these animals feel pain. You would never do this to your pets, never do it to your pets. And yet you feel perfectly fine slaughtering and ripping animals away from their mothers and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I mean, I feel very passionate about this subject, maybe because I wish someone had had a big mouth like me before my parents died, and I probably could have saved their lives with some of this information.
So, I mean, that's what we do. I'm not going to bring my son back from, you know, his murder in Iraq, but, you know, we can try and prevent it from happening to others because we, we can only go forward. That's what I say. There's only one way to go, and that's forward. And so one last thing because we are running out of time.
I see that
you want to put hydration into the
dietary guidelines. Yeah, I feel like water is completely, you know, people aren't drinking enough water. This is something I talked about in 2004. 2004, when I went to the to contribute to the dietary guidelines in front of Congress, I wanted to put hydration, you know, water on the guidelines, and I also thought food should be labeled so that we knew GMO labeling in terms of dairy and meat and sugar and things like that. I thought there were certain foods that should have warning labels on them in terms of what they do to your long-term health. But, yeah, I'm a big believer in water and hydration for sure.
Great. So, Mary Lou Henner, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. And like I said, our newsletter will link all of your information. But can you give my listeners your website?
Sure. I have MaryLouShow.com where you can get a hold of my radio show and find out if I'm on a terrestrial station near you, or you can just listen online because it's available 24/7 and, you know, archived and all that. And also I have MaryLou.com where I teach classes online and have coaches who teach my program and things like that. And check me out, two things, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I've been on that, and also The Crazy Ones, April the 17th, I'm playing Robin Williams' ex-wife, Sarah Michelle Gellar's mother, and also my television series, Unforgettable, is now on Friday nights. It's back on the CBS lineup, so check that out as well.
Oh, great. I have seen you on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's like one of the funniest shows on TV right
hilarious.
Now.
It's great.
And we do need also, you know, life might be hard, but we need to laugh and find joy. So Mary Lou Henner, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, and keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Cindy.
Well, that's the show for today. I hope you enjoyed it, and as always, I hope you learned something and were inspired to make changes. Now, many times I think that it's easier to be healthy and thin and eat right when, you know, you have the financial resources to do it. But, you know, as Mary Lou points out, it is far more expensive to live an unhealthy lifestyle, and I have a limited income, and I do the best I can to be healthy. You know, these days, last year I rode my bike across the United States at age 55. This year at age 56, I swim a mile a day. I walk 4 or 5 miles every day. I eat a healthy vegan lifestyle as much as I can, and you know, at 56 years old, I take no medication at all except for supplements. So it's possible to do on many different kinds of incomes. So check out the resources and make these steps because I think it's not just healthy for our own selves, but it's also healthy for our communities and our planets. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Donda Barr. I'd like to thank my assistant, production assistant, Dee Dee Miller, my assistant producer, Mikey, and you for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Peace out for now.